I'm Audrey Tracy.
And I'm Griffin. This is Selling on eBay, your weekly source for the information and inspiration you need to start, run, and grow a business on the world's most powerful marketplace. Hey, Audrey.
Yes?
It's only 2 months away.
What is?
Tax time.
Ooh, I was in such a good mood. Thanks a lot.
Well, don't despair. You still have 2 months to get all your papers and receipts and other stuff together. And in the meantime, this week's episode is here to help. The theme is...
Let me guess.
What?
Tax planning.
Why, yes, that's correct. How did you know?
I had a hunch. Plus, it's right here in the script.
Oh, don't give it away.
And we have two guests this week to talk about taxes. First up, I talk with Mark Two, otherwise known as Not Your Dad's CPA. And then you and I will speak with Marnie Levine from eBay's merchandising team about how taxpayers spend their refunds on eBay.
And of course, The Buzz, with Doug Smith filling in this week for Alan Aisbit. And we'll read an email about a very popular topic. Relist or sell similar? Which option do I choose?
Finally, a definitive answer to that debate.
Yeah, a definitive answer. And if you think you know the answer, you might be surprised.
Ooh, I love surprises.
You know, every day is a surprise with you. Shall we begin?
I don't know if that's a compliment. I can't tell.
Take it for what it is.
All right, let's get started.
Okay.
Coming up first, The Buzz.
I'm Griff, and joining us now is Doug Smith with The Buzz. Hi, Doug. Welcome back.
Thanks, Griff. It's great to be here. Welcome to you, too. I did this with Audrey last week.
I'm filling in for Audrey. You're filling in for Alan.
Is Audrey at the spa again?
I'm not sure. Maybe. But who are we to discuss that? If she needs it, she gets it.
I guess so. And Alan's out on fraternity leave.
No, that's paternity leave. He and his wife are having a baby.
What, a baby?
Yeah.
How did this happen? I thought...
You don't know?
I thought he was going back to college.
No,
I bought him a toga on eBay and everything. Yeah. You know, toga?
No, that would be fraternity, like in Fraternity House.
Oh.
But that's not what's in play here. So yeah, he's having a baby.
I apologize.
Well, that's no worries. I mean, you can't know everything. So what do you have for us this week?
Well, Griff, first off, we saw some questions about product catalog and item details.
Really? Like what?
The inclusion of item details from the catalog on eBay listings seem to be causing some confusion for sellers who believe they are able to disassociate their item from the product in our catalog.
And how do we respond to that?
Well, Griff, the community team provided resources, passed along concerns to the appropriate teams, and confirmed protections and responsibilities that sellers have related to catalog information.
So how does this work?
When listing an item, if a seller either provides a UPC that is associated with an item in our catalog or selects an item in our catalog as an indication that they are selling one of those items, the item will be connected to our product catalog from that point on. A seller can uncheck the box at the top of the listing that states pre-fill this listing with eBay catalog info, but the seller is not able to opt out of the catalog information being presented to potential buyers.
Makes sense.
This checkbox option simply determines if details from our catalog, like photo, title, some item details, etc., will be used by default in the listing.
Oh, I see.
And electing to not pre-fill the listing with eBay catalog info does not disassociate the listing from this info, just allows the seller to provide their own details in the listing. If something in our product catalog is incorrect, this can be reported and adjusted by our teams. And we actively review product information to ensure accuracy and are available to investigate anything we've missed as soon as it is brought to our attention.
More information on inventory optimization and listing best practices, I believe, can be found at ebay.com/seller center. We're always sending people there. As always, we'll include links in the transcript for this episode, so check that out. The reason is sometimes these URLs are just so long, it would take half a show just to recite them all. So just check out the transcript.
Definitely.
Now, many parts of the country experienced extreme weather recently. It was record cold in the Midwest and in the Northeast. Was there any volume around that in the discussions?
Definitely, Griff. As you know, in some parts of the country, mail carriers couldn't even make deliveries due to the weather. And sellers in the community were concerned and asked eBay to consider seller protections on shipping metrics due to carrier shutdowns.
And we posted a seller news announcement, didn't we? I believe I saw that.
Yes. We posted an announcement in regards to the weather. Sellers need not worry about their eBay seller performance due to delays caused by the weather. For those in affected regions, there is no need to contact customer service. eBay will automatically protect seller shipping metrics due to the weather. We'll continue to monitor the situation and update the seller community if needed.
Now, I should mention here, just in case you're wondering, Doug is calling in remote, so his sound quality isn't quite up to the studio, but it's pretty good, I think, through the magic of Skype. And the weather's fine in Temecula.
Well, it's been raining.
Oh, well, that's...
My pool is drained due to an unrelated incident.
Okay, well, that's fodder for another podcast.
You can come skate later if you'd like, Griff.
Right. Yeah, I got weak ankles. The weather has improved, though, right, across the United States, but the challenges still remain.
Yes, Griff, and so does this mean global warming is a myth? Where did it go?
Yeah, Doug. Do you have anything else?
We should make note that we also posted a seller news announcement this week reminding sellers to update return policies based on updates we made in May 2018.
What are those new choices?
Griff, there's 5 new return policy choices. No returns accepted, 30-day buyer paid returns, 30-day free returns, 60-day buyer paid returns, 60-day free returns. And we urge sellers to check and update listings now to ensure that they're up to date with the current policy. And they can learn more about how to maximize these options via the simplified returns page in Seller Center, which will be linked in the episode's transcript.
Again, because the URL is like a mile long.
Yes. We like long URLs.
I don't know why. You mentioned a lot of links in this week's buzz.
I like links, Griff. But sellers should always remember ebay.com/sellercenter is a great resource. Go there and search for what you're looking for, and you'll find some great information. Mm-hmm. And of course, my favorite link, the eBay community at community.ebay.com. Mm. Nice and short and manageable. No need for a shortened link there.
Nope.
All of the useful links we mention in the podcast are always included in the episode transcripts available at ebay.com/selling on eBay.
Yeah, that's right. ebay.com/selling on eBay. Tell your friends, please.
And speaking of that, you'll love this, Griff. We've added a form to the podcast page where you can ask a question or tell us why you think you should be on the podcast. We want questions and we want guests.
Mm-hmm. That's very true. We would love to feature more sellers on the podcast, but we need to hear from you. So check out that page. And this is another way to get in touch with us besides selling on eBay at ebay.com or our phone number, which is 888-723-4630.
That's all the news that fits, Griff. So how'd I do?
Tell me, when is Alan back?
In about a month or so.
Okay.
Well, when is Audrey back?
Audrey will be back next week.
Me too. Hi, Mom.
Audrey and Alan, please come back. Thanks, Doug. We really appreciate you calling in from Temecula.
Thank you, Griff. It's always great to be here.
Coming up next, the main story.
Welcome to the main story. The theme of today's show is income tax planning, and we have Mark Tu, also known as Not Your Dad's CPA, who's a CPA of over 10 years and a certified financial planner. He specializes in helping online sellers become more profitable. Welcome to the show, Mark.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
So perfect timing as tax season is right around the corner. You specialize in advising online sellers, and you're an online seller yourself. What are the most common tax issues you see?
I mean, I work with a lot of beginners. So some of the most common tax issues I see are just people getting into it and being overwhelmed and having no idea what to do. And when you fail to comply with certain things like paying your quarterly estimated taxes, if that applies to you, you can end up with penalties and interest and things like that. So that's probably the biggest thing that I see is just a lack of knowing where to start and potentially incurring some consequences because of that.
Yeah, it's very much the fear of the unknown, right? Taxes are so complicated. And as a beginner business owner and online seller, they can be overwhelming. Here's a question I see a few times a year around this time, which is, I'm a small-time seller. Do I need to tell the IRS about my online sales?
And that's a really good question. It's one that's important to talk about because especially when we start out selling online just as a hobby, we don't even think about taxes. And there's the idea out there that if it's just a hobby or if it's just a little bit, like it's not taxable, but that's actually not the case. Virtually any income you make from selling something online is going to be taxable unless, of course, you're selling it at a loss. And a lot of the time, it's not a loss. You know, even if you're selling one item, $1 a profit, that is technically taxable.
Another thing I see is sellers who maybe have not done a great job of record keeping. So tell us, what records do online sellers need to keep for taxes? And what's the best method of doing so?
Typically, the IRS likes to see a record and they like to see documentary evidence. So that's two things. A record is usually something that you create, whether it's a logbook or a bookkeeping software or a spreadsheet. Mm-hmm. It's where you're making a record of the sale. And then there should be some type of documentary evidence behind that. And that could be a receipt, a bank statement, or a canceled check, or just some type of tangible evidence. And that's one thing I like pointing out, because you don't necessarily need a receipt if you have some other type of evidence backing up that transactions. Because that's a really common question. I always get the question, do I have to save my receipts? And the answer is not necessarily if you have some other type of evidence.
And what would another type of evidence be?
You know, your bank statement, your credit card statement, sometimes maybe an invoice or a canceled check. Just some other thing that you didn't necessarily create.
Got it. So is a shoebox the right way to collect these things?
You know, that's not my personal preference. Right. I really like going digital with everything as much as possible. Mm-hmm. So if you do have receipts, you don't have to have that original physical copy. You can just scan it. And there are tons of receipt scanning apps out there now that you can use.
Yep.
And I would just organize things digitally, you know, have a digital folder for each month and just throw them all in there. And the likelihood that you'll ever have to go back and revisit them is small. So I just kind of back it up in there digitally and forget about it.
What's the single biggest mistake you see online sellers making when it comes to taxes, and how do you remedy it?
I think the biggest one is just not keeping track of anything during the year, because like I said, a lot of times they're starting out small and then they end up selling more than they thought they would. And they think, oh man, I could actually make a business out of this, but it's just something that gets put off and that they procrastinate. And that just causes headaches at the end of the year, and people are scrambling, and there's a lot of worry that doesn't necessarily need to be there. That has consequences for your sanity, for your taxes potentially, and it has consequences throughout the year too, because if you're not keeping track of your activity, you're not getting the insights that would be otherwise so helpful for you to be able to make changes that could improve your business.
You're kind of leading to my next question, which is you're a big fan of increasing your profitability through taxes. Can you explain what you mean by that?
Yeah, I mean, there's a big connection, I think, that people don't realize between taxes and just your overall profitability, your overall peace of mind. And through simple things like if you're subject to paying taxes on a quarterly basis, which if you're making a certain amount of profit, you probably are. If you're not paying those, you're going to be subject to interest and penalties. That's just one simple thing you can do. And then, you know, if you're not taking advantage or keeping good records to be able to take advantage of certain deductions, that's also a form of throwing money away. So just little things like that all add up. And if you are optimizing all that stuff, you are also optimizing your profitability.
And so we don't encourage tax evasion here, obviously, but we do encourage tax avoidance, which is to, within the constraints of the law, minimize, I should say, your tax burden, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's a celebrity who just got out of jail for tax evasion. And I said that tax avoidance is okay rather than tax evasion. A lot of people don't know what the difference is, but tax evasion is basically, you know, committing fraud, hiding your funds from the IRS. But tax avoidance is putting that all out there, but just making sure you're taking advantage of every available deduction or other strategy to you that's, you know, within the legal framework, I guess.
Right, within the law. So many in our audience are one-person shops, and they're selling from their homes. What advice do you have for them around taking the home office deduction? Speaking of deductions.
So one thing I would say is don't be afraid to take the home office deduction. It's sort of a myth now that if you take the home office deduction, you're going to be targeted by the IRS for an audit and then all your business activity is going to be really scrutinized. But that's just not the case anymore because, I mean, so many people work from home now.
Yep.
And there's been a lot of clarifying legislation over the past 20, 30 years where it's just not the flag that it used to be, you know, if it ever was. So that's the first piece of advice, to absolutely take advantage of it. And just following up on that would be, again, make sure you're keeping records with regard to your home office. There are two different methods you can take. One is simple, based just on square footage, and mm-hmm. the other takes into account some of your shared expenses between your personal and your business, like your mortgage interest, your property taxes, your utilities. So if that's the case, if that's the route you go, you'll want to have records of those. And lastly, one thing the IRS is strict on is making sure that your home office is actually a home office. It doesn't have to be like its own room. It can be a home office space, but whatever that space is, you have to make sure that you're using it regularly and exclusively for your business.
So how do you recommend online sellers track their inventory for tax purposes?
So inventory is one that's not, there's no one size fits all approach. It depends on the volume of activity you're doing. It depends on how many platforms you're selling on. Do you have other platforms besides eBay? There is software out there that can accommodate inventory management. But I've found that especially for people starting out, it often makes sense just to use a spreadsheet where you track what your different inventory purchases are. And then you also record when you're selling that inventory. So if you are tracking things like just the item description, the purchase date, the sale cost, and the purchase cost, with those five things, you can know what your cost of goods sold is at any given time. And I found that doing it in a spreadsheet is usually the simplest thing for a lot of people and can make a big difference.
And so is that another piece of documentation that you would want to, obviously you would want to use it day to day as you track your inventory, but that is also a document that you might want to hold on to for tax purposes. Should the IRS come asking questions, you're gonna want to have that spreadsheet. Is that accurate?
Yeah. So, I mean, that would be the record or the detail backing up your inventory. Inventory transactions, you know, in addition to any other substantiation you got, that was part of the transaction.
Okay, that makes sense. You alluded to this earlier, and I want to make sure I'm super duper clear. Do online sellers need to pay quarterly taxes, or is just once on April 15th okay?
So that just depends on the tax that you anticipate owing at the end of the year. So mm-hmm. The general rule is if you plan to owe more than $1,000 above any tax that you've already had withheld, in that case, the IRS does want you to make quarterly estimated tax payments. And there are some other rules in there too, but that's the general one. So if you plan to owe less than $1,000, then yeah, you can just wait till April 15th to make that payment.
So when does it make sense for an online seller to incorporate or form an LLC?
I think an LLC is always a good way to go, especially if you plan to grow, if you really want to make your business legitimate, but it's not a requirement and there's generally not a lot of urgency to do so, especially if you're not in a very litigious industry or if the items you're selling aren't very high risk.
Mm-hmm.
Because the main difference between an LLC and just a sole proprietorship is the additional liability protection that you get. There's really no difference as far as taxation between a sole proprietorship and a single member LLC. So the LLC, yeah, it just gives you more liability protection and it could potentially, you know, it can make you appear more legitimate. It could make it easier to do transactions in some cases.
Does it help with things like small business loans?
It could. I mean, I imagine it could. I don't know for sure, but I would think so.
Before we wrap up, any last tips or advice for sellers as they head into tax season?
I would say one of the biggest things is just don't be overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. I get a lot of emails where people are just really panicked and I can tell they're super stressed. I mean, once I go through just a few basic points, which are some of the things we've talked about in this podcast, they come away from that so much more calm just because they have a better understanding. I guess the advice is just, or educating yourself a little bit can go a long way. So that's what I would suggest.
Yeah, it certainly does help. The fear of the unknown certainly diminishes when you start to understand exactly what your responsibilities are. Thank you, Mark. We really appreciate your guidance here. Where can sellers find you?
So I'm pretty active on Instagram. It's at NotYourDadCPA on Instagram. My website is NotYourDadCPA.com. I have a Facebook group called Accounting for Online Sellers. And I mean, I'm just constantly answering questions and posting things I think will be helpful to people. So that those are probably the best places to find me out there.
Okay. Thanks so much, Mark.
Absolutely. Appreciate it.
We've been speaking with Mark Tu, CPA who specializes in tax planning and prep for online sellers. Coming up next, tax season on eBay. Welcome to Inside eBay. And in this segment, we welcome back Marnie Levine. She's VP of Merchandising here at eBay. Hi, Marnie. Welcome.
Hi, Audrey.
And of course, we have Griff. Hi, Griff.
Hi, Audrey.
So today we're going to talk about the upside of income tax, which is tax refunds, specifically what shoppers buy with their tax refund. Okay, let's start with some data. Did you know that in 2017, 80% of taxpayers got a refund and the average refund was $2,800? That's a lot of money being put back into the economy over a short period of time. So Marnie, what does all this mean for eBay?
Tax usually is kind of a scary word, but here at eBay, we like to make it fun and exciting and certainly uniquely eBay. So tax refund season is actually a pretty large season on eBay. We see a lot of shoppers coming to the site ready to spend. This year, as you said, more than ever, there will be about 20% more refunds in the market due to some tax law changes. These changes, don't ask me to explain them.
They're very complicated.
They're very complicated. But I will tell you through a UBS report, so people that do know, say that there'll be about $3 to $5 billion in discretionary spending over last year. Sellers, get that inventory up because people will be shopping.
Marnie, on eBay, what do people typically spend their refund on? Who's spending and what do they buy?
We see a lot of people in that, what we call enthusiast category, spending quite a bit. These are people that are coveting certain items. Maybe they have them saved in their cart. We see this amongst enthusiasts like comic book enthusiasts. We also see this with people, a lot of folks in the parts and accessories, people who want to buy things for their car, not necessarily things that they quote unquote need for their car to run their car, but things they want for their car to make their car all cool and fresh and looking great for the spring and summer season. We also see folks actually spending quite a bit of money on luxury items. So they have this extra money in their pocket. And if you're eyeing that Rolex watch or that Gucci bag and you have a little extra money to spend, that's where we see a lot of buyers spending their time as well.
Daddy wants a Rolex.
Who doesn't?
And a Gucci bag.
Right?
Well, get that refund out.
We actually see this as data every year. There is a bump up in buying right after the refunds start arriving.
We do. It's amazing. You can imagine all the data and analytics we have it here at eBay. And you could see a lot of our graphs go very much up and to the right once we hit that peak tax refund season. We also track our searches online on eBay.com, and we see a lot of searches for these enthusiast categories and for these high ASP price points as well. So we're going to lean in there.
Very nice.
It's that aspiration.
Yeah.
I'm watching this or it's in my cart, but as soon as I get the money, I'm going to buy it.
And all of a sudden, I have a wad of money burning a hole in my pocket, and I'm good to go, right? I'm ready to shop.
So true. The minute she gets any money, it's spent on eBay.
It's spent. What sort of marketing are we doing to lure in all those shoppers?
We have some exciting marketing going on during this season. One is we're really focused on shoppers who are currently on eBay, who actually just have more money to spend. So as marketers, a lot of times we're going after new customers, which we always want. But this time of year, we want customers we already have. Mm-hmm. And now these customers who know us and love us and trust us have more money to spend. So we are focusing on those enthusiasts who are eBay fans already. And we feel very poised to get them to spend on eBay this season.
Well, so do we do anything like, do we market with some a subliminal message about tax refunds? I mean, we don't want to come out and say, hey, spend your tax refund on eBay. But how does this change our marketing?
Absolutely. And some retailers and marketplaces do.
You will
see, you know, spend your tax refund here. We try to be a little bit more fun and a little bit more
subtle,
elegant, if you will, about it.
Like the podcast.
Right.
Yeah, we're very subtle and elegant here.
Well, one of the things we're doing is we actually have an ad in Motor Trend magazine, and our kind of quote or our marketing pitch there is, you say refund, we say ride fund.
Oh, that's right? Cute.
So it's very cute. It's very kitschy.
Hats off to the copywriting team.
Exactly.
Of which you're a part of. Right. Full disclosure.
I didn't write
plug
that
right though. There.
I'm not that smart.
That's Motor Trend. I would have never thought we'd be in that magazine. That's good to know.
It is. We have been working closely with our marketing partners and the magazines to, you know, really get eBay out there as part of the motors and parts and accessory world, because we have more listings than anybody else within, you know, motor parts.
I'm looking at a part right now. Maybe if I get my tax refund, I need a new roof for my smart car.
Well, there you go.
The old one's all, it's a plastic sunroof, and I need, it's all corroded. And
I bet you can get that on eBay.
Or I could just buy a new smart car on eBay.
That too.
All purchases must happen on eBay.
It all starts with a tax refund. So what does this all mean to sellers? It's great. Tax refunds are coming, but what should sellers do?
So sellers, the buyers are coming. Get your listings up. If you're in any of these categories, by all means, increase your listings. Look at promoted listings. Use all the tools that you have at your disposal. And for sellers who are actually not in these particular areas that we see a lot of the search coming from, there is quite a halo effect. So we do have increased traffic. We do have increased visibility. And anytime we market eBay, it helps the whole population.
And I just wanted to mention that the average time that it takes for the IRS to process a refund is 21 days. So the most diligent taxpayer out there has already probably filed and is waiting for that check to show up. What that means for you sellers is, you know, get that stuff up on the site now. Don't wait until it's kind of peak refund season. Get ahead of it.
We could be a little delayed this year.
Yes.
There was a little snafu in D.C. I don't know if you remember last month. But.
Right.
And we've been watching that, you can imagine, very carefully.
Yes.
So we check all the government and IRS sites here. We're becoming a little bit of experts in what's happening in the government. And people are filing. And some people actually spend before they actually have the money in pocket because they know what they're going to get. Right. So they're actually, when you file your taxes, it tells you how much you're going to get back. Some people are already starting to shop.
There's some tax services that will upfront your refund as a small percentage loan. If it's timely, they're out there getting their money and they're spending it now.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, Marnie, Are you expecting a tax refund? And if so, will you be buying something?
Unfortunately, I am not expecting a tax refund.
Well, that means you're managing it well.
Yeah, but that doesn't preclude me from shopping and buying on eBay. So I will be shopping for all kinds of fun stuff. My son's birthday is next week. Shopping for some fun gifts for him as well. So I'm always shopping on eBay no matter what.
Very nice. How about you, Griff?
What about me?
Are you going to get a tax refund? And if so, are you going to spend it?
I think I might. And of course I will. I'm not a big one for saving.
No.
There's too many Oriental rugs and small collectible things that my house needs.
Right.
I don't know where I'll put them.
But your house needs them.
It needs them. Yeah. Right. I find an empty space that has to be filled.
Nothing in particular. You mentioned Oriental rugs and what else?
A little small collectible stuff.
Okay. Yeah. But you don't have your eye on something specific.
Oh, I do. Are you kidding? My watch list is always at the 200 limit, and my cart has tons of stuff, is always aspirational.
Very nice.
But I'm, you know, as a shopper, and I know a lot of buyers do this, I keep things in my cart and I wait for a promotion, like an eBay Bucks promotion. Now I'm going to buy because I'm going to get a little back that I can spend later on.
There we go.
What about you?
Well, I am expecting a tax refund, I think. And I've got my eye on a new TV. Oh. Samsung makes this TV called The Frame, and you can put art in it.
So cool.
Instead of, you know, having this big black boring thing on your wall, you actually can pick the art file that you want to show. And then it has the edge of it looks like wood, and you can pick what color wood tone you want. We're doing a little.
And you can fool your friends into thinking you just bought a Picasso.
Right.
Nice.
Right.
I like it.
Exactly. So we're doing a little living room upgrade. And by the way, I found the best price on eBay.
Amazing.
Who knew?
Who knew?
I knew.
Go figure.
I figured.
Okay. Any last thoughts on a tax refund season?
We're just excited. So sellers, get your listings up. The buyers are coming. And we're excited to see you grow your business on eBay.
All right. Thank you so much, Marnie, for being here.
My pleasure.
Thanks, Marnie.
We've been speaking with Marnie Levine, VP of Merchandising, about the tax refund shopping season. Stay tuned for more.
It's time to open up the old mailbox and read an email sent to us by a listener.
Great. Okay. I love it. Shall I pick one?
Yes, please do. Knock yourself out.
Okay. I got one. This is from Tim, and he writes, there is a great debate on my Facebook group about which is better, relist or sell similar. Does relisting an item bring any bad baggage with it, like lower search rankings, he means? People say sell similar erases all the bad baggage. Do you know the definitive answer for this great debate? Thanks, Tim.
Well, I think so. But I think I need to start off, Audrey, by saying the best practice here for fixed price listings is always use good until canceled. So I think there's a lot of people out there that are trying desperately to manipulate search by saying, I'm only going to list the item for so much and then I'm going to relist it because that puts it brand new on the top of search rankings. And this is not
true. That's not how it works.
Except for new today. This is a lot of work for very little bang.
Right. And that new thing, you said that new listings don't end up at the top of search results, but the buyer can toggle.
Right.
Toggle on the upper right.
Exactly. But that's only for a little bit. And then, you know, immediately it starts to fall down in that particular sort, which is new listings, because new listings are coming in all the time.
Right.
I agree, Tim. There's a lot of time I see myself with my own eyes spent debating and talking about this. And I think it's kind of fun, but it is definitely not a best practice to waste a lot of time relisting and ending listings. My first bit of advice is just settle for good until canceled.
There we go.
He talks about bringing over bad baggage with relisting.
Yes.
I'm not sure what bad baggage is. He says lower rankings. But if you have an item and it has a history on eBay, it could be both good and bad. So if it's multiple quantity item and you've been making sales on it and it ends for some reason, relisting it will bring those search benefits that it had from being boosted a little bit with multiple purchases from the same listing. But again, why are you letting these listings end? The best practice here is to just keep it good until canceled. Sell similar doesn't carry over those same rankings. And a lot of people use sell similar, including myself, for the ease of doing so. It has nothing to do with search results. It's just easier for me to take a shirt that's already listed and choose sell similar because it'll pull over the parts of the description that I want to use, for example, so I don't have to re-enter that data. That's a better use of time. But worrying about whether or not these items, these practices or these behaviors are going to get your item more eyeballs in search is just, it's a fool's errand. What you want to do is make sure that the listing is high quality to begin with and that it's performing well. And if it's not performing well, ending it and relisting it is not the way to go. You want to end it if you need to make changes, to revise the listing, to make it more appealing. And I'm not sure that Tim wants to hear this particular answer, but it's just the fact, actually, that the debate is kind of, I don't want to say a waste of time.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I want to say there's a better way of looking at this if your goal is to get something sold.
So if you have an underperforming listing, the advice here is not to end it, but to optimize it, right?
Exactly.
So look at your title, look at your descriptions.
Your price.
Price, look at the competition, look at the demand.
Right.
All of that stuff is a better use of your time than ending and restarting new listings.
Yeah. So the definitive answer, Tim, I hope you got it, which is stick to good until canceled. And if you need to improve, or if you got to get something sold and it's not sold, optimize the listing. Stop worrying about how you're going to manipulate search to get it on the top. It's not going to make a difference. I'll tell you one thing that does happen.
What's that?
So I have a lot of searches out there that I get emails every day.
Mm-hmm.
And there are sellers who list and end a listing every 1 or 2 days. And that item, I know it because it keeps showing up in my email as a new item. Do you think I'm going to buy that item if I didn't buy it the first time?
Right.
In fact, what I find, it's annoying.
Right.
And there have been 1 or 2 times where I've gone back to redo the search and eliminate that seller's items from the search. Because it's just annoying. I just don't want to see these in my search
right.
anymore.
Right. Plus, think about that seller. That's a ton of time you're wasting.
Ton of time.
Ending and relisting, ending and relisting. Just don't set it and forget it. Set it and optimize it.
So, Tim, I hope we've cleared up this topic for you. Tell as many people as you can in your Facebook group.
And if you have a question you would like us to address here on the podcast, you can either mail it to us at sellingonebay@ebay.com. Or
you can call it into us at 888-723-4630. Just dial that number, 888-723-4630. And then follow the prompts and you can leave your question and your details.
Coming up next, it's closing time.
Darn, my least favorite part of the podcast.
All good things must end. Also, what's that saying? Something about you don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.
Yeah, coming up, the outro. And that's our show for this week. Thanks for joining us.
We hope you picked up a few pointers about tax planning. Remember that along with all of the advice and guidance you can get online, ultimately the best option for any business is to work directly with a tax attorney or a CPA. The lawyers made me say that. And a qualified person like a CPA can help you save money. So yes, it's well worth the expense.
What's up for next week's episode, Audrey?
Our theme for our next show is driving efficiencies. Mm. We'll explore a few third-party listing tools, and we'll also have an update about eBay's managed payments.
Okay. All right. Great. I love it.
Wait a minute. Pardon me, but I believe those are my exclamations. I think you're ripping me off.
No, I'm just borrowing them. You know, mockery is the sincerest form of flattery.
I don't think that's quite how the saying goes, but never mind. Isn't there something else you want to remind our dear listener about?
Oh, yeah, dear listener, don't forget our number.
Exactly. If you want to join the fun here on Selling on eBay, you can be part of the show when you call us at 888-723-4630.
That's right. And although it sounds like a fundraiser for NPR, it isn't. Call us at 888-723-4630. You can call that hotline any time of the day, any day of the week. You can leave us a question or a comment, and we just might put it on the air.
Did you know that many people do not like to hear the sound of their own voice on a recording?
Yes, I did know that. I cannot imagine why.
And a very small percentage of people actually love hearing the sound of their own voice.
Ooh, I wonder which group I belong in.
Yeah, I wonder. Anyway, if you are not in the Griff group, do not worry. We have our very own email address where you can send your questions. It's sellingonebay@ebay.com. That's sellingonebay@ebay.com.
Hey, are you tired of binging on Netflix?
Never.
Waiting patiently for winter to end, but going just a little stir crazy in the process?
Maybe.
Turn that beast around. Attend a local eBay seller meetup in your area. At seller meetups, sellers share tips, stories, insights, and even complaints, and they commiserate and lots of stuff. Plus, there's usually food and beverage. You can see meetups that are scheduled on our special eBay community page for meetups at www.ebay.com/meetups.
And don't forget to tune into our weekly live video stream on the eBay for Business Facebook page. That's every Wednesday at 12:30 Pacific time. Go to facebook.com/ebayforbusiness.
And that's where you can always see Audrey's smiling face as she's interviewing people.
Yes, you can.
I love it. Okay, great.
Great, I love it.
Right. You didn't do the cackle.
And that's our show for this week.
The eBay podcast team, director of community Brian Burke,
community manager and father-to-be Alan Aisbitt,
community manager and technology and news editor Doug Smith,
marketing strategist Liz Austin,
editor-in-chief and co-host Griff, that's you,
scriptwriter and co-host and
girl. Don't say it.
Right. Audrey Tracy.
We'll see you next week here on Selling on eBay.
Selling on eBay is produced and distributed by Podcast 411 and Libsyn.
Usually you do it the other way around.
Libsyn and Podcast 411.
Podcast 411 first.
I just did that way.
Oh.
You weren't listening?
Apparently not.